Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have once again come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. What does that mean? That means you got to hang out with other men to be able to know from their experiences, so that you don't have to fall into the same trap that maybe they have in the past. So it's about helping each other out. In this world, we need help, there's no doubt. In this radio show, I need help, there's no doubt. And in the studio with me today, Duke is here to help me out. Good to have you, bro.
It is good to be here. Thank you.
Hey, we've got a topic today that we're going to be talking about. You're probably read it on the podcast that we're going to be talking about. Becoming mature Christians or mature Christians, or what keeps us from being mature. But what we want to talk about is how we are like kids, really, is what it comes down to. And why is it we stay stuck in that position sometimes? So anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about. But in the meantime, my brother had Band of Brothers last night down in the county south of us. And I know you're coming back with some encouragement for today, for the guys. Anything come up?
Oh, yes. Oh,
see,
oh, yeah.
I know. It always does. You have a group of guys that are just, they're just fired up every Wednesday that they gather, right?
Amen. So
that's
amen.
And that's a good thing.
Well, what I'll share with the listening audience this morning is what I shared last night, which was an encouragement for men to step out and do something. So I hope this is lifts them all up. But as we talked about the idea of Scripture that we're to be childlike and things like that and how difficult that was, our encouragement last night came to how do we instill that in our own children? And so what I propose to the guys is what I'll propose to the audience. For those of you that have kids, or maybe not, here's what I've decided to do is I'm taking my 13-year-old granddaughter out on a date. And we have scheduled a day off to be together. The reason that I want to do that is that I want to instill God's word in her in a way that I hadn't before. And because it's so important to me. And as I'm reading the scripture about childlike and I see this 13-year-old that's grown up, she has shown me the frankness that Art Linkletter used to say about kids say the darndest things, right?
Yes.
But I'm also noticing that there's more of the world than of God that seems to be the influence. So, brothers, I want to turn that into the encouragement that I've decided to be proactive in that. And I'm intentionally taking my granddaughter and sharing God's word with her in a way that I hope will be a foundation from here on out. Plant that seed that is irrefutable.
You know, and we forget about that sort of thing. Sometimes we leave it up to either their mothers or to the teachers in the school or to other people. And it's really our responsibility. In Deuteronomy, it talks about how we are to be teaching all of our children, whether they be our own children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, young men and young boys and girls that are under our influence sometimes.
Amen.
You know, and we need to be talking about Jesus and talking about him and with them all the time in our waking, in our sleeping, going, you know, everything that we do.
So, well, faith without works is dead, so I've taken that to the next level and said, okay, Lord, and I'm being very intentional about it, and that would be my encouragement for others. To set that time aside is a very special time. Actually, I bribed her a little bit, I'll admit. I told her she had to give me 2 hours of Bible time, but I'd take her to Dairy Queen. More than one way to skin a cat, brother. Yeah, anyway, that's my encouragement this morning.
Hey, you take me to Dairy Queen, you can have 2 hours worth of that. That's no problem there, too.
Amen.
But anyway, so let's just segue right into this, what we were talking about as far as being mature. As men, okay, we have a tendency of, well, when we accept Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, and we start getting into the Word of God, sometimes we can get a little confused sometimes on some of the meanings on things. That's why it's so important for us to read things in context when it comes to a verse. Read some before, read some after, and get someone else's take on what they believe that says. You can get that through commentaries, through other men in your life that actually have been around a little while, and getting their take on what that means. And but it's not about getting precise and saying this is the right way. And, you know, we try to keep it simple, but there's a point that you're wanting to get across. And you got across to the men last night. You had a great conversation. And I think it's a great topic. But I know that if we had said that, how do we keep from being childish or child, you know, in our walk with Christ, we probably wouldn't get very many listeners.
No, and you know, this part of Scripture about, you know, unless you're as a child, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven and stuff like that, mm-hmm. that we've heard from the pulpit and stuff, used to really confuse me. That it kind of like as the rich man asked Jesus, how do you enter the kingdom of heaven? And he talked to him about being reborn. He says, how do you go in your mother's womb? And, mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't get it. By the same way, this childlike encouragement from Jesus as he's asked some of these questions is a different kind of childlike than I used to think. I mean, children are immature.
Yes.
So, but I'm not as an adult. I have different roadblocks than children do between what you think. That is, kids don't always have already an agenda in mind, but we have adults, we've been conditioned to have that agenda. Yes. So part of it is, as I look at the scriptures, well, how do I be childlike? And does that mean that I'm mature in what or immature in what I do? Or where does that innocence lie? Because we're also supposed to be aware of the devil who seeks to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy. Yes. And a child doesn't know that.
Yes.
So where's
yes.
that where's that balance come out?
You know, it's you were doing this. I want to just read a couple of things I pulled up here. It says on the adjectives refer to the characteristics of a child, being childish and childlike. Childish, which means silly or immature, generally points to unfavorable qualities in an adult, okay? Childlike, which means trusting or innocent.
Okay.
Okay? So, which refers to more favorable qualities for adults and for those who end up getting to that place in life, realize that, okay, I need to stop acting silly, okay, in a sense, and immature. And so often when it comes to our walk with Christ, sometimes we can act a little silly because we don't – I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes when I'm in fear or in confused about things, I'll either say or do something that will be funny to kind of bring laughter and levity
to it. Yeah, yeah. So mask that, it a bit.
Yeah, to mask it. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't want to have to deal with this, you know. Or it's like, teacher, I got to go to the bathroom now, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just to be able to get out of that situation.
Yes.
You know, we hear about it in the Gospels, yes, about where Jesus talks about it, right? You have it there?
I do. In Matthew 18:2, Jesus says we must become as little children in order to enter the kingdom of God. The context of Jesus' statement is the disciples' question. They said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And verse 1. And the response that Jesus said, Jesus called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
So whoever takes that, what he says, the lowly position of the child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
That's, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's expand on that, because he tells the disciples exactly the question they asked, that you got to be like little children. I got to say that if I was sitting there and go, okay, now what does that mean?
Yeah.
How do I get back to being a little kid? I thought I was supposed to grow.
Yeah. Well, you know, it as a lot of times when we are, I'll speak for myself, I was an adult when I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Yes, I was raised in a Christian household, in a sense, but yet when I accepted Jesus, I was an adult. So it was hard to understand, how do I become like a child again? Kind of to the same thing that you had mentioned earlier, where Nicodemus had asked Jesus, how am I supposed to enter my mother's womb again, get reborn again? You know, and the point being, of course, is that it's the attitude of the child. You know, when we see or how he describes, he wants us to be innocent, okay? And how do you become innocent? Well, you have to be as close to being sin-free as possible, okay? Now, of having that attitude of knowing that the Lord is the one that will actually end up taking care of us, because he loves the children. He says, you know, all you have to have is just this attitude, and all of a sudden, now things will start to be revealed to you. You'll start to receive them. See, when there's innocence, that means there's no
preconceived roadblock.
Exactly.
Okay, which is what we are.
And we always do. We say, okay, I can hardly wait to get rid of all of this in my life so it gets better. Oh, wait, you mean this got to go? No, I want that, you know, in my life. I need this, you know. And then now the battle begins, in a sense, okay? And what it comes down to is that I need to be more of that trusting, having just a belief that God is not going to just pick me up. He's not going to drop me, okay? And yet there's that part, because of our own experiences, I believe, from the way that we were treated and the way that we were brought up, isn't not that they did a bad job. They did the best they could with what they had and what they knew.
What they knew.
Okay?
Amen. Yes.
So I finally got to that place, and I was an adult before I can finally forgive my parents for the way that I was, okay?
Yeah.
And there are times when I still sneak back into that when I listen to the lies of the enemy. But my point being is that when I get to that place of totally trusting God, okay, and accepting that his will for me and that his grace, that he created me for a purpose, his grace is given. It's not because of something that I earned, which is the way I was brought up, you know. The more that I do, the better I become, and the more that God's going to love me. No, that's not how it is.
No.
That's not how it is. It's because of his sacrifice on that cross for our sins that we, and when we ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven. We're forgiven. And he says, now you're a new creation. Now, I can say that, but do I really believe that? Being a new creation. Wow. The concept of a new creation is almost childlike, isn't it? It's like you get an opportunity to be, again, reborn each and every day. You're a new creation in Christ, okay? Wow, I have an opportunity to be more childlike, okay? Now, is it easy? It's easier said than done. There's
Of course. Well, we all, I think, at our root have that childish, I'll say most of us, have that childish part of us that even comes out every once in a while.
Yes.
Either in a giddy sort of way or just a faithful sort of way. And that's, I guess, different than some of the things that we see. But I guess the best example that I'm thinking is as a parent, and most of us are parents or we have seen children in our lives or something, is that the frustration from trying to get your child to trust that what you have to instruct them in is in their best interest.
Yes.
And isn't that the way we are with God the Father? Mm-hmm. So many times we seem to be challenged with the simplicity of God just saying, just trust me in this.
Yeah.
Haven't I left enough proof behind? Isn't there enough breadcrumbs for you to get it? And what frustration and what anguish God must feel as our Father. And, you know, I'm feeling that. In several states, as I raised my kids, I wasn't walking with the Lord like I am now. But as I raised my granddaughter, oh boy, now it's really coming to tuition. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's causing me to also set an example for her to follow, which I man, those kids, they do not miss a thing when they're watching you, brother.
Yeah. And that's where being an example is so, yes. We actually walk our talk. It's easy to talk it, but do you really do it? Do you put, when the rubber meets the road, are you actually putting in practice the things that you're preaching, in a sense? Okay. And that's where it comes back down to us. Once again, how do I practice what I've learned?
Yeah, and not embrace that old adage of don't do what I do, do what I say.
Yeah, yeah.
Where does that come from? Isn't that obvious?
That came from my dad. I don't know about, maybe you must have heard it over the fence.
It comes from the adult that hasn't got the innocence or humility that God calls them to be. And they're expecting their child to do something that they're not willing to do themselves.
Yeah. Well, you know, first off, when we end up looking at our children, and as most first-time parents, okay, what do I do with this kid? They don't give you a manual when you leave the hospital. You know, what if something goes wrong? What do I, you know, all of those fears and doubts and worries, anxieties, all of that stuff is in both of you, okay? Now, I'm going to say probably more with the wife than there is with the husband, because the husband can say, hey, you gave birth. You must know what to do, right?
Yes, natural.
So it comes naturally. Yeah. You know what to do. And but anyway, it belongs to both of you.
Yes.
It's both your responsibilities. But as a result of that, we know how challenging it can be. That child is desiring to be fed or to be cleaned or to be loved. Okay, and that's probably why it's crying.
That doesn't change as we grow up either, does it?
No, it doesn't. We end up, it looks differently,
yes.
And it looks very awkward for an adult to kind of say, but I want it like this, or I'm taking my stuff home with me,
yes.
And you guys can do it yourself. So that is very childish.
Well, Jesus explained this idea of being childlike, or wasn't it really revolved around just wanting to be innocent, humble? Take it as for example, I can spank my kid, and at the time, they hate you, okay? I don't know why I was born.
Nobody enjoys it.
Of course not. Yeah. But something about a kid, different than an adult, is that maybe by the next day, the kid's almost forgotten it. I mean,
yes.
He kind of remembers the spanking, but he still says, I love you, Dad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do we receive that kind of discipline from God?
Well, I'm sure we probably do if you're willing to seek him and to do his will in our life. See, discipline doesn't mean that you've done something wrong.
Amen.
Discipline, according to the Bible, God shows his discipline for us his love for us by disciplining us. Okay? And that's what it comes down to, is that if I'm being disciplined, you know, that means that, hey, he loves me enough.
Amen.
I mean, it's no different. We've all had our children that either darted away from us or heading toward a challenge, whether it's something that's going to harm them or whatever, and you grab them quick enough, and your reaction, the majority of the time, is to give them a swat on the butt. At least it was for me, and that's what I did. Don't do this. Look what you could have done.
Yes.
You could have been hit by that car, and I don't want that to happen to you. Now, I don't do that because I dislike the child. I don't do it because I enjoy hitting the child. I do it because I love that child, and I don't want any harm to come to him. So I'm trying to get your attention, and I want you to pay attention to what just took place. You got to realize, and I've got to remember that I'm not talking to an adult.
Yes.
I'm talking to a child. So now, there are some adults that actually handle it differently than the way that I did. And I'm not going to say that it's wrong necessarily, but they've been accustomed to be able to have enough self-control maybe to be able to handle it different. I, on the other hand, I didn't. That's not the way that I did it. Okay. Now, that's the way I apply what takes place in the Bible. The Lord is very patient. He is very knowledgeable. There is nothing greater than him. And so does he not know what to do? He knows how much pressure I need. He knows when I actually need to get, maybe the slap on the back of the head isn't enough. Maybe he needs to get that stick and hit me behind the head, you know, or a 2x4.
What you're talking about is being thankful for the discipline that God allows.
Eh? Well, absolutely, because that's, he's showing his love for it and saying, hey, God Almighty, who created all things, he's paying attention to me. He actually wants me to do his will. You know, that if I do his will, now, if I come to know who he is, this is what I love about it.
Yes.
The promises that are in the Bible, okay, those are going to come to fruition in my life, you know, and it may come in piecemeal, it really depends on God's perfect timing, but I have to do the work that needs to be done. That means of letting go, of giving away what I've received. If I've received grace and love, and I tell you, I received a prayer here the other day that reminded me of what God has in store for me. He said, yes, give freely what you have received freely. You've received my grace and you received my love, so give that exactly the way that I have given it to you. Wow. If I do that, my life is going to change because I'm going to be looking at people and acting differently toward them. Amazing the stuff that takes place. But let's take a break because otherwise we're going to be amazed at our sponsor saying, hey, they're going to be calling us, hey, how come our commercials aren't up and everything. So we're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
When you feel like you're alone in your sadness, seems like no one in this whole world cares, and you wanna get away from the madness. You just call my name and I'll be there. You just call my name and I'll be there.
Welcome back to the Band Brothers Radio, and now, I want to read something back. You had read in Matthew 18, you talked about what Jesus had said about the children. And in verse 4, I love all of this, but anyway, it says, therefore, this is out of the 84 NIV, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That word humble can be so confusing sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
That we think that sometimes being humble means that people are going to take advantage of you and everything. And I want to take it in the context of the way that I was brought up in my latter years here about what humility really means. Being humble, in a sense, means that I'm teachable, which really applies to what a child is.
Amen.
Very teachable, okay? See, they're very trusting, okay? And when we can come with that attitude toward our Lord in learning from him through his word, through sharing what others have experienced in their walk with him, in being able to get to that place of knowing that when I pray to him, if I am free of any intentional sin in my life, secret sin and stuff, that he actually hears my prayers, that if it lines up with his will in my life, it will happen. It will take place. But being teachable is what is so, so important. So often we find ourselves in situations, I was just reading something here, where children are trusting by nature. They trust adults, and through that trust, their capacity to trust God grows. That's why it's so, he mentions here at the very end, he says in verse 6, but if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, okay, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned into the depths of the sea. That is, now you're hearing God's anger and wrath. how he wants to protect the children. Now, he's not just talking about children. He's talking about us.
Us, yes. We're all his children.
When we come to him and we come humbly and trusting in him, brother, you are protected by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You're protected by the Lord, okay? He's going to do everything he can to see to it that you're able to continue seeing him and seeking him, especially when you're doing it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as a result of that, he's going to give you a life that is better than you could ever have imagined. It's going to be different. It has to be different. Because if we try to go back and reenact our lives the way that it was when we were at a time in our life, that's not what God has intended for us. He has something in store, but he wants us to be lined up with his will because he's created. He created you, Duke, specific way to be able to reach specific people in your life for him, okay? And the same with me and with same with all the men that are listening right now. You all have a specific purpose. Not all of us are to be the head of the body. Some of us are the little finger. Some of us are the thumb. Some of us are the foot. Okay, some of us are one of the toes, whatever it may be. But there is all is necessary for this body to be functional, to be able to take care of what God wants it to do, which is to make disciples of all men in all nations. Okay?
Yes, and the greatest sermons are lived, not preached. You know, there was a country video a few years ago that showed a father and a son. And as the song would go, the video would show the son and the father spending time together, riding in the truck, throwing the ball, stuff like that.
Yes.
Okay. And the song ends in, I guess, a caution in that it also includes the fact that the father used some words that he shouldn't have when he spilled his coffee driving in the truck,
mm-hmm.
and his kid repeated them.
Mm.
And the song kind of, you know, corrects that. And let you know that the father recognizes that he didn't set a very good example there,
yeah.
but yet his kid is watching him and loving him, trusting him in everything he does.
Yeah.
So as we seek God and we embrace the scripture that says, love me, trust me, have that faith like a child and all of that,
mm-hmm.
We've got to be aware that as parents and as representatives of God,
mm-hmm.
We can send the wrong message in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
For a kid that doesn't know any different,
yeah.
and they will pick it up like
yeah.
that,
yeah.
just like we have.
Yeah. So let's put it in the context of adult men today.
Yes.
Okay. What is it that, what does it look like when we are being childish, in a sense? Okay. When we are trying to, when we look at our lives, or maybe someone else notices, it might be our wife, it could be a parent that sees that in us, okay, that you're acting like a child. And it's not that you're whining, it might be in a sense, but maybe there's complaints that go on. People aren't doing it your way. I think about toddlers who are at that age where they can sit up by themselves, may not be able to walk completely, and you put a couple of toddlers about the same age together, and you give them some building blocks and little toys to play with and everything, and you watch the interaction that takes place. One's putting it in its mouth, and the other one sees that, and they want that one, although the one they're holding in their hand looks just like the one that that guy is putting in his mouth.
Yes.
But he tries to get the one that that guy's putting in his mouth so he can grab it, and then that other one who can't react quick enough starts to cry when this other one takes it away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, this is mine, okay? So, yes, in a sense, we are in the flesh, we are created in sin. We're already thinking about me, just as a child, okay? But the children are still moldable, in a sense. They're able to be taught a certain thing and to learn certain things. But yet, as men, are we the same way sometimes?
Oh, no, we've got so much baggage, I guess, because we've allowed, when you think about it, Raul, when we come into this world, most of what we're exposed to is the world.
Mm-hmm.
That is visually the touch, feel sort of stuff. And then there's got to be this intentional effort to show why the world has the beauty that it has in it.
Yes.
You know, in making that transition. As we grow up as adults, we still have our little tantrums. We don't agree. I even just had a case recently. Case in point is there was a problem at the church that someone was supposed to be in control of, but wasn't. When the subject was brought up, the first thing the person did was not to be humble and go, oh, boy, I really goofed up. Mm-hmm. He did what a kid would do. Well, that wasn't me. That was so-and-so. Well, no, if they had done that, this wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
You know, and immediately when he's doing that, I thought, well, okay, but what you're really doing is you're denying the truth. You're trying to sidestep. Mm-hmm. You're not being humble and accepting that responsibility. Mm-hmm. But aren't we supposed to learn that as kids?
Yeah.
Where'd we go wrong here?
Well, the thing is that it's so often is that, again, this walk with Christ is a narrow road. It becomes more and more difficult the longer we do it. Okay, you've got the, as soon as we accept.
It should be easier the longer you do it.
Well,
what's up with that?
You would like it, you would think so, but all of a sudden now the challenge begins because now you've got a large target on your back that is made out of neon lights that actually said, hit me here type of thing.
And I'm to embrace that.
Yeah. Well, you have to accept it because the simple fact is that we're in a battle. We're in a war. There's somebody who's trying to get our soul, not just the Lord that wants us. He created us and everything, but there's one that wants to steal us from him, okay? And that's the enemy. That's the devil. That's the dark side. That is, you know, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. He doesn't want us. He knows the end of the story. See, truly.
Oh, yes.
You read the Bible, he knows the end of the story. The devil knows that he's going to be in the lake of fire for eternity. And all of his demons, okay? But he wants to take some of us also. And the best way for him to do that is to get us to put doubt, to get us to be discouraged, to get us to become less faithful toward God or trusting toward God. He wants to do everything to lead us in the other direction. So what's he do? He entices us with pleasure, with comfort, with power and prestige. And all these things, if you buy this, you can get that. If you have these kind of things in your life, you're going to get these kind of people in your life.
Or it's wrapped sometimes in deception of this is a blessing from God.
Well, yes. And it comes in many different ways.
Yes.
So we end up acting very childish when it comes to this sort of things. Okay? You know, being childlike is completely different. It's back to being that humble and willing to trust in God, being trustworthy. Okay, and trusting him, I should say.
And what you described is not much different than something that I read earlier, because we're kind of this way as adults too. A young child's perception of the image of God, as he or she tries to grasp it, who he is and what he's like is a blessing to observe. See, to kids, Jesus Christ is a superhero. Mm-hmm. They ask things like, does Jesus wear a cape? Is he afraid of the dark? Can bugs bite Jesus? Another four-year-old even asked once, if Jesus is in my heart, then how can he be in heaven? Mm, you know, it's the same thing of the innocence of what children. You think as adults we don't ask those questions?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I have turned to Jesus as my superhero. Mm-hmm. I do not know of a greater source of power available to me or authority that's been given me to conquer Satan, to overcome the things of this world. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is a superhero to me. But as a kid would look at it like that, is how we're supposed to look at it, I think, as adults.
Right. Unfortunately, sometimes we have the perspective of, I want to be able to see all the power that Jesus has, like you would see in a movie, that you would read in a comic book, and all of these things where all of a sudden you want to see this come out of him to be able to push people back or to keep them from harming anybody else type of thing. But he does do that stuff. It just doesn't come as the way that... See, we don't understand God because his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. There's no way we can conceive it. We just are not able to. So we have to trust. And then he shows us in miracles that take place in our lives, or little God nudges, little things that he does, that we're sensitive to. When we become sensitive to his spirit, Lord, show me this day. Help me to be able to see more of you in the people that I will be around today, or those of that you want me to influence today for you. Help me to see that. So when I become more sensitive to knowing that he's living in me, all of a sudden I become more sensitive to the people that are around me to be exactly how he says in his word, to love him with kindness, humility, gentleness, all the fruit of the Spirit. Anyway.
And it's all trust.
Yeah, we need it. Yeah, we
take a break.
Yeah, the producers.
I don't want to take a break.
Producers looking at me and saying, okay, got one more break here. So let's go do this thing.
Okay,
we'll be right back. We're going to continue talking about this childlike behavior. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
You're busy, and the last thing you want to worry about is lawn work. What if someone else took care of that for you? If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list. With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year. Kane's Lawn and Garden can provide as little or as much as you need. Mowing, edging, pruning, fertilizing, weed control, and even general property cleanup. Take advantage of special pricing right now. Request a quote by visiting their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Kane's, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com. You are the air.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Duke and Raul, we're on the tail end of a topic that we could talk on and on and on about, and maybe we will another time. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it says, Paul says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways." So I say that because that is one that hits between all of our eyes, okay? Is that if I am acting like a child, like I'm not getting my way, and I'm going to pout, and I'm going to take this away from you, start acting like a child once again, okay? I have to realize who I am. Maybe I don't have enough Jesus in me to remind me that I need to be trusting him in everything that I do. And in doing so, what ends up happening is I end up becoming that mighty man of God that he has intended me to be. But I can't do this by myself. I need other men in my life who have been down that road to help guide me and to answer some questions I may have.
Amen. And trusting God means trusting God through men like that. That yes. Have the example. You know, I saw something, I think it was on YouTube or something one time that really brought this around, Raul. And that was, there was this picture of this little kid, couldn't have been 4 or 5 if that, on the end of a diving board that was off the water. And here is the parent in the water urging the kid to jump. Now, that's a little bit, it struck me a little bit like, wow, that kid's got to have a lot of trust because there's great danger in coming off that board. Now, the kid has never done this before,
yeah.
And the parent's going, it's okay, come jump off the board. And the kid's thinking, wait a minute, what's all this water stuff? Without even knowing, you could drown, right? What fear was there? But the kid in the end of the video trusts, yes, and jumps off the board, and the parent catches him in their arms. And right away, you know that that's exactly what God is asking us to do.
Yes.
He will catch us. But what it came down to, Raul, is the two things that you've brought up a number of times here, the two key words, which is trust and faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I discipline my granddaughter or even my children,
mm-hmm,
I'm asking them to trust and have faith,
mm-hmm,
that what I'm directing them in is not to bring them harm.
That's right.
Because I want to protect them because I love them. Right. At any cost, right. I love them.
But see, so often they hear it the way that they hear it because of maybe their maturity or lack of maturity in a sense. And we want them to be able to get from where they're at to where we've been at one time,
yes,
to get to where we're at now.
Yes.
And it doesn't happen like that. What ends up taking place is there becomes a miscommunication in between there. And that miscommunication is our lack of being able to share with them honestly and without reservation and being transparent. Now, that doesn't mean to be crude and rude, but they, meaning our children, they need to hear the stories that we have, and we have them to be able to share with them how our lack of faith in God did not work, and then what had happened in our lives that created enough courage to attempt to trust God. And then this is what happened when I did trust God in this. And they'll go, wow. Now they can relate with that in a sense, okay? No matter who it is. That same scenario works with adults talking with adults. But nobody wants to disclose our dirty laundry and the things that have gone on. God has forgiven you, okay, brother? When we ask for forgiveness of the things that we've done in the past, God has forgiven. When he says, I forgive you, it's done. You're made white as snow. He says, what sin are you talking about, Raul? What sin are you talking about? I don't see you that way anymore.
Well, what child would not come to their parent asking that, apologetically, willing to repent, let's say, that if a parent would turn that away? They wouldn't.
Yeah.
They'd completely embrace it.
Well, go ahead.
Unquestionably, faith is the essence of our Christian life, and it is exhorted throughout the Bible in a lot of different ways. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, and Hebrews 11 is all about faith in those who possess it. Good read for the listeners. And that's really part of what was on my heart on this radio show was the difficulty, the challenge, I guess, that requires us to need people we can trust so we can see what it is that God is asking us to do that is not any different than how my dad wanted to serve my best interest, protect me, and show me the right way because he didn't want me to go through heartache. He didn't want me to be injured. So he was there to show, direct, and counsel me along the way.
Yes, yes. You know, one of the things I think is so important is that we realize that I still have lots to learn, okay? And I may know what the right thing is to do, but I may not necessarily be doing it. I may be heading in that direction. But the key is that we're all learning, okay? And I need to be as patient with others as Jesus is patient with me, okay? I just want to say, I want to read a part here that is from the Sermon on the Mount,
okay?
And in Matthew chapter 5. Now, if this gets boring to you, I'm sorry, but I'm going to read this to us. It's out of the NIV. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So this is the word of God. This is Jesus speaking. This is when he started out speaking to the multitudes. He gives all of these things that you are blessed as a result of. And so many of these things are the things that we don't want to have to do or have to be. We wanted to do it our way.
Yes.
And you know what? We need to be more childlike rather than childish.
Is that term that says we need to decrease before he can increase?
That's right. That's it.
Isn't that a rub?
Boy, it's more of him and less of us. And yet that's a difficult thing for us because we don't trust people. Our trust, I mean, we buy all the things to be able to protect our families, and whether it's a big vehicle, whether it's many guns, or maybe it's a place of location of our home that is surrounded by a huge fence. We want to protect everybody okay? And we also want to protect ourselves. And so in turn, what ends up taking place is that we're trying to do it our way. And really, it's kind of difficult to be welcoming and inviting and to desire to be more Christ-like when we've got all these restrictions in our lives.
Well, you know, if we're fellowshipping with other men, we're staying in prayer, we're staying in the Word, things like that I didn't used to do before. Nowadays, and even recently, I raised my voice, lost my temper at my granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she went down to her room, slammed the door kind of thing, and I thought, okay, I really goofed that one up. So what do? Well, a prideful guy might say, well, she deserved that, or she's just going to have to live through it. And I thought, oh, gosh. So I went downstairs, and I apologized to her.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I did not set a good example for you, and I'm sorry that I raised my voice and yelled at you.
Mm-hmm.
I did it out of anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what kind of example that set for her? It put me in tears admitting I was wrong to her because I knew the benefit was going to be that maybe she would replicate that. How deep does that get? Huh?
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do, brother.
Yeah. And that's part of being willing to do whatever's necessary so that God's will be done, not ours,
yes.
That His will be done. You know, good topic, brother. I tell you, I think it struck a few hearts out there. How about praying for our brothers who are listening?
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that all the listeners and those that aren't listening, that they be shared with this message to be as a child in trusting and faith in our Lord, that everything that He has for us is for our benefit, and that we embrace that. In Your precious name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you shalom. Brother, there is hope, and you're definitely not alone.